Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. We are talking waiver wire pickups and a round 10 review of the Doug Nicholls Indigenous round. It's been a cracker of a weekend. I hope you had a win in your leagues. And to help us talk all waiver wire pickup is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Doing okay. Good day to all the listeners out there. Although, Jono, looks like I'm going down to you. Looks like you're getting your revenge. So that crushes my soul.
Well, it helps when you finally have a good captain choice actually work instead of spitting out 80s and 90s for the last month.
Yeah, well, my captain outscored you.
Yeah, and I'm still going to beat you.
That's terrible. My vaunted midfield of like Jack Stephen and Zach Merritt and
Treloar and Merritt and Tom Mitchell. And
no, I mean, the guy like Merritt and Parker and Stephen, they didn't even crack 90, the gits.
Yeah, no, I've had a pretty good week. Even my bench coverage and Scott Selwood and Rory Atkins turned up, so pretty happy with that.
Yeah, so not great for me. But, Jono, someone who was even worse for was the week was Roger Moore, the former Bond actor. A lot of discussion about whether he was, in fact, the best Bond actor. I kind of actually think he was my favourite Bond. He was certainly very fun and all that sort of thing. But, Jono, I want to throw out a bit of a hot take. I'm not sure what the Statesman will think. But I'm just going to say that Bond is terrible. Bond movies are shocking. They're overrated. The acting's terrible. The script's terrible. I don't know how people get infatuated with Bond. It is just deplorable. It's the sort of thing like an 11-year-old boy enjoys. And I enjoyed it when I was that. But if I'm an adult, I can't watch it. And Daniel Craig, I mean, my God, he's like as wooden as I don't know, David Duchovny or something. It's just, what's going on?
He's pretty vanilla, isn't he?
It's just the worst. Like, my God, what is, just, come on.
I've got to say, I didn't mind Pierce Brosnan's Bond. Thought he was pretty good.
The only good thing about the Golden I use is, in fact, the N64 video game, which we all agree is the GOAT.
What about Forgotten Man George Lazenby?
George Lazenby is should be forgotten.
And on that note, we welcome you, Statesman. How's your weekend going, mate?
Wonderfully well, and just commenting on the Bonds, I actually agree with Steve, but they did do one thing for us, and they helped us get Austin Powers, which I enjoyed in my earlier days.
Oh, good call.
Well, they're looking to remake them, so good luck with that.
Good to hear.
I hope it's not Mike Myers. What's he, about 60 now?
Nothing wrong with Mike Myers.
No, there isn't. But a bit of news coming out over the weekend, a few injuries. Bobby Murphy's went down in the last few minutes of the game on Saturday afternoon, which looks like a hamstring injury. So they're saying at least a month for Bob, but with the bye coming up, should certainly help. For those who brought in Jake Lloyd, not too good going down there in the first few minutes, only scoring 2 and 5 in both formats. But I've got him in the Keeper League. And still going to pull out a win by the look of it, so pretty happy with that. And also, oh yeah, I'm on a roll. Three. But also Sam Reed going down with a concussion as well. Not good there for Sam Reed. And in the last game we saw there in the Giants versus the Eagles, it was Josh Kennedy going off with some sort of foot injury. They're alluding to an Achilles. If it is an Achilles, then they can be quite tricky and could be the rest of the season, which is not good for the West Coast Eagles and their finals aspirations. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, draftdoctors.com.au. We've got the Statesman Skippers, Steve's A Dozen Deals, and the Late Week Pickups dropping weekly. So check that out there. Check us out on Facebook, and talking waiver wire pickups this week. So fire away, Steve.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting week for waivers. There's actually, I don't think there's a heap of great options, but I wouldn't even know if I'd spend my priority on some of them. But the first guy for Cab of the Rank is Shane Biggs, defender, owned 64% of leagues, defender for the Western Bulldogs.
Bulldogs on bye, mate.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's just someone who does generally score pretty well when he's on the park. And we know he's been in okay form in the VFL, came in, played pretty well. But Bon Murphy's injured, and we sort of don't know how long that's going to be for. So I think Biggs might actually have some staying power, which would be handy if you needed a defender. And you might not need to spend the priority on him. Also, like Mark Bagley, who is playing this week, only owning 49% of leagues. Oh, no, sorry, 54% of leagues. Defender for Essendon. They're playing GWS this week. We certainly know defenders against GWS is a bit of a good thing. Also in that same vein, defender for Fremantle, Cam Sutcliffe, only owned in 33% of leagues. Playing against Collingwood this week, we certainly know they give it up to the defenders. So over in Fremantle, I certainly think that's an option if you need a defender. Another guy, Darcy Lang, forward for Geelong, solid VFL form, comes in under the ownership threshold of 65%, came in this week, scored 90s, okay role playing on the outside there in Geelong with those great ball winners in Dangerfield and Selwood. Last guy who is playing, Brennan Whitecross, only owned in 23% of leagues, don't love the matchup against Port especially, but he is someone who can score your 80 pretty regularly. Defender forward status, so you can fill in on either side, which is pretty handy as well. A guy who's not playing this week, he's got the bye. Dane Rampey, only owning 49% of leagues, is defender for Sydney. He's a great pickup for your Supercoach leagues. We certainly know he's very Supercoach relevant, a little bit less in your Ultimates and AFL Fantasies. And the last guy is really more of a keep an eye on him, and that's Tom Papley, only owning 57% of leagues. He is on bye, but I certainly think if Sydney are going to be a bit better, he is an interesting forward option in some plus matchups.
Yeah, I found it pretty hard to pick up a lot of those waiver wires, but when we are talking waiver wires, we use the 65% ownership rules on Ultimate Footy, just so it gives everyone a chance to pick these players up. And Statesman, who are your waiver wire pickups for this week?
Yeah, number one was Darcy Lang, who Steve just mentioned before. I've gone all my picks this week on who's going to help you with the buy. So I've avoided around 11 buy players and tried to help you with the weaker positions for each of the rounds. So Matt DeBoer is a round 13 buy player for GWS. Has averaged over 80 before, and with their injury list, will get plenty of game time, so should be quite helpful in the buys, and only owned by 41%. The next one is Kane Turner, so around 12 forward, handy buy and handy form, averaging mid-70s and only owned by 38%, and just playing that sort of defensive forward role, so he's certainly racking up the tackles. Dom Sheed is next, around 12 midfielder, West Coast midfielder, starting to get some game times and quality point scoring and doing quite well again, is going to ton it up against GWS. He's a high quality player and has a great buy, so owned by 61%, great value Dom Sheed. The next three, I'll just quickly run through their mid 50s to early 60s percentage ownership. Two of them have already had their buy, so they can play through. They're not scoring fantastically well, but they certainly can score well. And that's Kane Lambert, forward for Richmond. Carl Amon, who for Port Adelaide, forward, has already had his buy. And Pierce Hanley, who had an absolute shocker for the Gold Coast. I think he only scored something like 20 points. But we know Pierce Hanley can score, but it was his first game back after a lengthy break. So I'm hoping he picks up his form in the future. So that's my waiver-wise, gentlemen.
Yeah, no, some good picks there. And I've followed along similar lines to you there, Statesman, and using players who may have a later buy or already had their buy. I did have Carl Amon. You did mention him. He's got the Hawks, the Bombers, and the Lions over the bye week. So pretty decent matchups there for Port Adelaide in terms of fantasy. Also got Taylor Garner for North Melbourne, owned at 30%. Looks like the way the North were going with the young kids, he's bobbing up kicking goals. As Steve said, we'd like to look for 80, 85 plus, but if you can get that 70, 75 over the bye, then you're going to be doing pretty well. I've also got Caden Brand from Hawthorn, only owned by 32%, is a defender. As Steve said, the Hawks are starting to get a few of the younger blokes, and Caden Brand's actually been scoring pretty handily since he's come into that team, playing Port Adelaide on Thursday night. 2 meter Peter, only in 39% of teams. He's got the Eagles the first week, which is pretty tough, but then he's got the Hawks and Carlton in the next 2 weeks after that through the bye round, so plenty of scoring opportunity there for 2 meter Peter. And Sam Powell Pepper. He's had the rest, and he's going to be playing through the byes. So, and they're playing Hawthorn on Thursday night. And as we know, the Hawks do give up the midfield points. So a chance for Sam Powell Pepper to at least get an 80 or an 85 for you. And they're my waiver wires for this week.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask quickly, what do you guys have in terms of strategy for these weeks? We know the bye rounds are very... It's a time to make some moves for mine. I like to be very aggressive in the bye rounds. Other people want to be a bit conservative. You know, if you're up the top of the ladder, maybe you can wear a couple losses. And if you're down the bottom of the ladder, you have to fill out your bench, or you fill out your field and make sure you get some wins, even if it means picking up 60 scorers. I certainly wrote about that in the Dozen Deals article on the website last week. I don't know if that copped a bit of flack, but for not giving out the actual deals. But I think it was a really important strategy article. Because there are a number of ways you can come into the bye rounds. I certainly like to be aggressive. I'll ask you, Statesman, I mean, do you have a particular strategy that you're going to approach these rounds? I mean, especially it's a little bit different in a keeper league setting as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's fair to say with the draft format, you actually find that if you were really to keep this squad and build it for the following year, you'd probably max out at about 16 players. So the rest of the players on that list, and we're talking about our keeper league, there's a list of 27. So I'm saying 9 players are effectively worthless. They're just playing a role for me. So I'll actually flick them. And I've already started doing it leading up to the bye rounds, where I think I've got 6 forwards with the round 11 buys. So I've actually traded 3 of them out, or should I say swapping them off for waiver wire pickups, because I actually want to ensure that I get a good mix. So I want to cop a couple of wins. Obviously, I'm not going to put, for example, a Lockie Neal sitting on the waiver wire, but someone else lower on the ranks. I'm quite happy to take that risk because I want to get a couple of wins, get the position where I'm in the finals, and then I'll start building the squad after the buys come through.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You see people tanking the season, and that's fine, whatever. But they start bringing in, you know, 20-something kids, and you just can't keep them all. They're going to have to put 10 back in the draft next year.
Absolutely. And I have noticed in a few of the leagues that I play in keeper leagues where people are saying, all right, my season's over. And they've actually gone through the process where they're picking up every decent kid there is. And I actually look at it and say, well, you've actually trying to pick up 21, 22 keepers is actually pointless when you can only keep 12 of them.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What about you, Jono? You know, our main league's our redraft league where you can only play for 1 year. What are your strategies going into this year?
Well, coming from a different point this year where the last couple of years I've been sitting pretty at the top of the ladder and maybe a game or two clear, you can probably just coast and then start to trade out that bench of yours where...
Sorry, Jono, have you ever been a game or two clear?
First year, won the league by 3 games.
Yeah, it's not good. He's actually been minor premier the last 2 alone, so that's it's horrible.
Yeah, so I've had the luxury of just trading out, though, putting that bench in the pool to pick up players where I am missing. I haven't really traded in the bye rounds because the team has been pretty good and I've been able to accept a loss or two over that bye rounds. But this year I'm in a different position where I'm battling for that top 4 position. So I have to sit down, have a look at my team and maybe make a few aggressive trades, as you said, to ensure I get that win and ensure I get that top 4 finish.
Yeah, I guess being aggressive can go two ways, can't it? You can trade to make sure you get the win this week, or you can trade for the long term and take a couple of losses and build a big team for the finals. So really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are loving the show, please do check us out and hit us up on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button there. And if you really do love the show, drop us a review. It really helps our brand. Not so much as a review this week, but we had Derek Nolan off Facebook say, I'm really loving the pods. It seems like I have an unfair advantage over the rest of my league. Shh. So it seems like Derek is using our sound advice to get him to the top of his league there, and hopefully goes on to win the flag.
Yeah, but Jono, what are you doing? He wrote in shh, so...
But if you're saying shh on the Facebook page, these mates ain't looking at it either.
Jono, you're a good talker, not a good listener.
That is very true. Thank you, Stephen. But now we're just going to have a look at the round 10 matches, and just to see a few players who caught our eye, who stunk it up and who performed pretty well. And kicking it off was Thursday night between the Cats and Port Adelaide. And I've got the Cats here. So if you had Paddy Dangerfield, you wouldn't have been too happy at three-quarter time. He was around the 70s, 80 marks. But cometh the last few minutes, cometh the super coach point, kicks the goal to get him in front and eventually win the match, gets upscaled about 50 or 60 points, is uproar on social media. So gets you the 125 Dream Team, 163 super coach. So quite amazing that. Jared Ruff had one a little bit later on, which I will mention when we get to that game. It's quite astounding how Supercoach do their scoring. But Joel Selwood, back to his best, getting those six free kicks to help him along to a massive score, 134 in Dream Team, also had the 33 possessions. Scotty Selwood has been a pretty handy pickup for those who have been able to grab him. He's doing a Tom Liberatore, only the 15 disposals, but 17 tackles. He's had 34 in 2 weeks. I'm going to put it to you guys, is this sustainable whatsoever for Scotty Selwood?
No. Trade him.
I think not.
Cash in, get some value.
Bundle it up and trade him out?
Yep.
So there you go. But Mitch Duncan's been fantastic this year, playing injury-free, having a really good role through that midfield. Got you the 100 in Supercoach, 109 Dream Team. So if you're a Mitch Duncan owner, you'll be really loving the scores he's been putting out. And I think, Statesman, you had him as one of your captain riskies this week.
Last week, actually, but I did mention again that he should have been one of those options, along with quite a few players from Geelong. Been scoring very well in recent weeks, but I've been a big rap over Duncan for quite a few years and just got the perfect role for him now.
Yep, absolutely. And moving on now to the Port Adelaide side of things.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a pretty night for Port Adelaide. I hope they had plenty of KY jelly, boys, because they got screwed in a pretty reasonable manner, and not just with the goal-kicking shot clock, whatever. I'm pretty sure Robbie Gray was playing with a conjoined twin for most of that match. Just attached to his back. He's been hiding it under his shirt all these years, but there you go. Pollock was huge with 120s in both formats. Wines was big, 110. Great kick, the three goals, gave you a nice Supers coach score. And really nice game from the big man, Jono.
The Hoff.
Yes. Yeah, the Hoff was everywhere. Gave you a nice ton. Roaming around the ground like he was in the preseason, but not always. Well, it should be a fantasy-friendly role, but it hasn't always been. Cold side, Hambo Hartlett in defence, but just not finding the ball at all. They got a lot of small defenders in that area, so strange. Boak, Vomit, forward a lot, so he's continuing on from where he left off last year. And your boy Statesman gave you 30s. Boy, you would have been really happy with Matty Broadbent's effort there.
I think he's still averaging in the 70s, but anyway.
Oh, that's so good. Really, really happy with those 70s. So, yeah, tough game for Port, unfortunately.
But moving on to Friday night, we had the Swans taking on Hawthorn.
Yes, the Swanee boys would have been expecting a win with Hawthorn's form, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. Lloydie actually getting injured didn't help, and then Reed coming off with concussion as well. But don't fear Lloyd owners. He'll have the bye, he'll have a rest, and he'll be back and firing. And if anything goes from what happened on Friday night, his points per minutes will be absolute superb. Less than 2 minutes on the ground and still 4 points for Supercoach. So that's fantastic ratio. So well done to Lloydie. One thing that did do, it was create Jones to be actually put more in the midfield rotation. So he was scoring quite poorly early, but certainly racked it up late. Scored 119 in AFL fantasy scoring. JPK, 112. Dan Hand's been in magnificent form. I think that's 5 tons on the trot for
he's
Dan.
He's off
Hand.
The grog. That's why he is off the grog. On the grog, sorry.
On the grog. Yes, that's the one. 108 for him. Buddy Franklin, who was my recommendation for the loophole, thinking that Sydney Swans were absolutely going to belt Hawthorn, especially with so many key defenders out, but he only put in a 99, so wasn't the loophole option that I thought he was going to be. Isaac Heaney continued his good form for 93, and Luke Parker back to his early season form with only 66. 1 ton for Luke Parker, gentlemen, so far this year. What do you reckon's wrong there?
He's doing Dan Hand's health fitness.
Yeah, actually, I traded in Luke Parker in the early rounds. I really thought he'd come good because he was just down a goal and some contested ball. But I wonder if he's suffering from the game being continuous like a Callan Ward. I feel like Callan Ward is, like, where the ball's always in play, so there's less stoppages, which is where he really makes his hay. We know Josh Kennedy is the contested beast up there in Sydney, but if there's less stoppages for Luke Parker to win, then there's less ball for him to win. He's not a great transition player. And also, when he's gone forward, he just hasn't been taking marks, and he hasn't been kicking goals. It's very un-Luke Parker. So I hope as a Parker owner he can turn it around, but I'm kind of petrified. Maybe when the grounds get slipperier, a bit wetter, maybe he's going to find the ball and hopefully have a big second half surge like some of these contested players do, but I'm a little bit worried, quite frankly.
No,
and
fair
we haven't
enough.
Seen Parker playing much forward as well when you've got Papley, Hewitt, Heaney and that the likes playing there as well.
Well, he has been playing forward. He's just not taking the marks and kicking the goals, yeah.
There you go. And he's generally a pretty good marker. But on the other side, we had the Hawks with a good win up in Sydney. Liam Shields has been pretty good the last few weeks. He'd be pretty happy with his scores. Laid the 10 tackles for 133 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. Isaac Smith going to be the one-hit wonder in the forwards only. Been playing the midfield all season long. Again, with the 133 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. Sean Burgoyne really stood up in this game. Went big with 144 Supercoach, 100 Dream Team. And Luke Hodge, just picking off everything coming into that back line there and starting a few fights as well.
And did Steve, were you playing him on the ground?
Playing who?
Burgoyne for his 144.
Oh, yes, man. Mate.
Well done.
Why would you pinch an absolute stud like that? That's crazy.
I've got him in the Listener League, and thank God he finally cracked out a score.
Oh, and speaking of Listener League, Statesman, remember when my team was terrible and couldn't make the finals? It was just...
No, I didn't say you couldn't play in the finals. I just rated 4 teams higher than yours. So where are you sitting?
Above all those 4 teams, yeah. Looking down on you.
First.
Yep. Game clear. So,
another choke coming up?
There's a bit of a tightening of the collar, but I'll be right. I should be right.
Fair enough.
But Jared Roughhead was an interesting one. He had the took a mark outside 50, went back, kicked the goal to put him in front and to eventually win the match. But no upscaling there for Jared Roughhead. He only went up whatever it was for the mark, kick and goals. It was only about 12 points there. So a bit of a social media backlash there, especially its Supercoach scoring. So get your scoring right there, Supercoach. As the Traders guys said on Twitter over the weekend as well, make it black and white. So we know what's happening.
Yeah, I think They've lost a lot of fans this year, Supercoach, with Trelaw Gate.
Oh, exactly right. Like you just can't pick it whatsoever.
Yeah, it's it's not good. I'm out of it.
I'm sure we'll get to it in the Adelaide Freo game as well with their thoughts on Nat Fyfe, but we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But the Saturday game between the Doggies and the Saints, for some reason the Dogs are not playing fantasy-friendly football at all. You had Jake Stringer kick the 5 goals for 112 Supercoach and 98 Dream Team. The Bont could have kicked 5 goals, but didn't even crack 90 in Supercoach. The 112 Dream Team, Lin Jong was good for 92 in Supercoach. And Bailey Dale has been putting together a couple of nice games lately. He's only in about 40-odd percent of teams. So if you're looking for a defender, scored you the 97 Dream Team and 88 on the weekend. And moving on to the Saints, Jack Nunes absolutely firing on Saturday afternoon. Involved in everything, had the 143 Dream Team, 138 Supercoach. Billy Longer.
Yeah, just on Nunes, if I told anyone to bench Nunes, sorry.
143.
Yeah, who knew that a concussion made some players play like goddamn Brownlow contenders?
Bit of Steve spite swag there for Jack Nunes.
Wasn't my finest weekend, Jono.
But Billy Longer, he was mentioned in the late week pickups. He was playing the Western Bulldogs, even with Jordan Ruffin as a late inclusion. Went on to score quite well in both formats, turning up in Supercoach and going a massive 125 in Dream Team. Joey Montagna just running around with no opponent, doing whatever the hell he likes, picking up all the cheap possessions with 94 Supercoach, 123 Dream Team. Kobe Stevens was massive. Going, turning up both formats. Seb Ross also continuing his great form. Didn't quite crack the Supercoach ton, but got it in Dream Team. But Jack Stephen, been in some pretty good form of late, but don't know if the mullet just flying over his hair with the roof open there at Eddie had on the weekend, but yeah, had a bit of a stinker. But we know that we get that from Jack Stephen from time to time, and especially in a loss. And moving up to Traeger Park in Darwin there, we had the Demons taking on the Gold Coast Suns. The Gold Coast were up by about 30 points at one stage. It was great if you were on the sports bet head-to-head. If they're up by 24 points, they pay out straight away. I know I was, so I was pretty happy with that. But the Demons came back with a flurry of goals from especially Jeffy Garlett, who snagged 5 in Indigenous round. Nathan Jones is having a great season. Went 130 Supercoach, 123 Dream Team. Jake Melksham, we all thought he might have been a what the hell was he doing in that team, but popped up for 32 possessions, scored pretty nicely in both formats, as well as Viney, Hibbard, Oliver as well. And onto the Gold Coast.
Yes, only 4 really to talk about. Obviously, pretty poor second half. Aaron Hall, 117. Brandon Matera, 105. Jared Witts, 97. And Michael Barlow with the 93. Interesting that Rodney Eade's already made some comments saying that up to 7 players will actually be dropped from this game moving on to next week. So I've had a good look at the players who missed their disposals because he was talking about clangers. So I think Jared Lyons might be one that might be on the outer. And interesting, David Swallow was high up on the clanger list as well. So it'll be interesting to see how many changes he actually does make, or he's just firing a bit of a rocket to hopefully spur them on. Aaron Hall's very interesting gentleman. He's averaging about 130 over the last 3 weeks. Do you see him as their number one scorer outside Gary Ablett for the remainder of the year?
I guess so.
Yes.
It's kind of weird with Aaron Hall. He always comes with such a risk because, you know, he can be dropped or he can just throw out 70s or whatever.
You do, because I'm just wondering whether he's going to be one of the players that gets dropped if he's going to drop 7, because he certainly got dropped last year.
It's hard to imagine, but the guy I'm really interested in, and we were hot on him coming into the season, is Tuk Miller Statesman. What the hell's going on there? He hasn't return value at all on where he was getting drafted.
It's simple midfield time, because whenever he goes in the midfield, he scores extremely well. And we all talked about at the end of last year, the trade period with Jago and Prestia going, that they're in the search for midfielders. They've effectively got too many of them now. And whether they've actually got the right mix and the different sort of flow of having contested V outside on ballers is a bit of a concern. I think they've got too many that are probably a little bit similar. And that's where Took gets in. So if Took gets in, you probably have to move Aaron Hall out. So which one as a coach do you actually want in there? That's where the drama is. But I will say the big fantasy win for Gold Coast this year has been Jared Witts, who would mainly get drafted in the 200, so round 20 onwards. And now I think he's sitting around the fifth or sixth best ruckman in the competition in point scoring.
Yeah, we got a lot of messages from listeners who employed our late ruck strategy, and they're certainly feeling pretty happy about having your Jared Witts or your Matty Cruises or your Ben McAvoys. And look at the top of the ruck tree. There's Max Gawn's injured, and Grundy had Cox playing against him, and Goldie's gone down. It's not good.
No, especially when good old Chris Fagan brings in Archie Smith. I must send him up a bottle of a nice Tassie Pinot with thanks from me for helping me beat Steve. But we had dream time at the G between Richmond and Essendon. Fire away, Steve.
Yeah, so it was a great come from behind win for Richmond. Jesus, what the hell happened with my voice there? Essendon kicked a few quick goals, and they Richmond forward on, even with a couple of contentious decisions at the rush behind. But I thought they were just a bit too quick for the Dons. Sorry, Brandon Ellis certainly had his best game in a long, long time with 126 Dream Team and 147 Supercoach. So if you're stuck fat with Brandon, congratulations. He certainly returned a really nice game. Bashir Hawley, 123, Dream Team, 127, Supercoach. He was instrumental in that second half, just picking off all the Bombers' errant kicks. You would have been very happy with that as a Hawley owner, Jono.
Yes, I certainly was.
Yeah, so their disposal really let him down. Koch was fine. Yeah, he was good. Dustin Martin, he was great, super. He won a boomerang, I think, for his 133, Dream Team, 125, Supercoach. It was a boomerang, was it?
It was a boomerang, yes.
Yeah, I thought it was a boomerang. It was a big piece of wood. It looked pretty nice anyway. But unfortunately for some draft owners, Josh Caddy and Dion Prestia continue their form. Unfortunately, Josh Caddy just mired in that forward line. Dion Prestia just sucking.
Thought Caddy would have scored better. He kicked a couple of nice goals, but yes.
At least he played.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Prestia. Oof.
Well, I mean, is Prestia in the same mix as these other guys? I mean, he could be droppable if he scores that bad. Like, we're talking about.
Yeah.
I think so.
Against your Ward and your Parker, those plotter types. I mean, he's been just terrible. So
it's not good.
No.
But who was good for Essendon there, Statesman?
David Zarakis. He's been in magnificent form over the past 3 weeks. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top three point scorers for the last 3 weeks too. Fantastic form. And that's what happens when he gets released. Dyson Heppel scored 124, just 7 behind Zach. And Zach Merritt got tagged for the first time, gentlemen. Is this the start for the long-term tag on Zach Merritt? He's been running free. Plenty of people have said over the time that Zach Merritt's disposal doesn't hurt you, a la a Tom Mitchell, a la a Tommy Rockcliffe. But he's a fantastic footballer and works very hard and is their link man, and got tagged by Kane Lambert. Still got the ton up, but only 101, not the average 125, 126 he's been scoring. So do you think the tag's on for Zach for good?
Nah, I think it was just a one-off. And you got blokes like Heppel in that midfield, who I think is more damaging than Merritt, and they'll go to him first and then stick on Merritt. I still see Merritt as the number two midfielder in that team.
Well, the interesting...
Yeah. What worries me is that we saw when Zach was tagged, that Essendon were having to put the ball in the hands of their lesser players, their poorer users, like your Josh Greens and your who's the other guy, David Myers, and use these guys as outlet targets. And I think that turned the game and got Richmond going, because the ball use for Essendon was just really poor.
It stopped their play, and Essendon lost the game. So I reckon it's here to stay for the time being, and until someone else pops up and becomes a better option. It's like the evidence. Rory Sloane gets tagged 1 week, has a poor game, Adelaide get beaten. All of a sudden, for the next 5 weeks, Rory Sloane's tagged.
Yeah, so that's not good as a Zach Merritt owner, I can tell you that. But I hope it doesn't continue. Maybe no one will cotton on to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Brendan Goddard continued his good form. Didn't quite turn up, got the 99 in AFL Fantasy. Michael Hurley's been fantastic in defence, and we never really talked about him being a really good defensive option, but he's averaging 90 for the season. That's absolutely fantastic. Parrish is going to be an absolute ripper, one you should be trying to pick up in a keeper league. McGrath the same. He turned it up in Supercoach in 85. In AFL Fantasy. And how did Job Watson go this week?
Like a cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice and cold.
Nice and cold. It's been a bit up and down. Had a great start to the season, but whether that's the wall that Worsfold has been talking about, who knows. But that's a wrap-up on this then, gentlemen.
Yeah, and the other game on Saturday night, we had the Crows taking on Freo, where the Crows absolutely destroyed Freo by 100 points. Rory Sloane, his mother was a mother. Mother. He loves the slop, this guy. I thought you'd like that, Stacey. 157 Dream Team, 177 Super Coach. Got to be up there in the Brownlow. This guy is an absolute star. Rory Atkins just sitting on the outside, getting all that outside pill in all the contests. Turned up pretty well in both formats. So if you've got him and had him on your field, you'd be pretty happy. Just Jenkins coming back from being dropped, scored very well in both formats, 122 Supercoach. Jakey Lever also quite well with 121 Supercoach, 111 in Dream Team. And a lot of people, especially in the salary cap format, dropped Andy Otten this week. But bobbed up for four snags and scored you quite well in both formats there. But in a 100-point win, a lot of players also scored quite well. You had Source Jacobs, the Crouch brothers, Miller, so all scoring pretty well in a 100-point win. But the Freo Dockers, very poor on the weekend.
Yes, and only two to talk about. Connor Blakely scored 119, doing another tagging role, a little bit freer as he's been over the last couple of weeks, but gets the pill. He's going to be a magnificent player. And, of course, if your name's Lockie and you play for Freo, he should be in your team. Lockie Weller, a magnificent 109, averaging now 75. So I said 75 to 80, absolute gun. But let's face it, the rest of them just had little impact on the game, including the other Lockie that plays for Freo. But we'll just say that's the one game downer and move on from there. Unfortunately, not much else to talk about for Freo.
Nat Fyfe is a pretty big one. 6 free kicks against and 13 clangers. Do you think he's going opposite Dangerfield, where we saw Danger in that last year, the Crows just go absolutely crazy and score out of his brain, whereas Fyfe is just going, nah, I'm out of here. I don't care. I'm just going to play Bruce free footy and get through to the end of the year? Because it seems like that's what he's doing.
It doesn't look like it when he's playing. No, it doesn't. And I don't know whether there's something we don't know about, whether there's an issue, but to be quite honest with you, I think he's been looking quite good. Not so much on Saturday night, but the previous weeks when he hasn't been scoring fantastically well, he looks like he's just going to break the game apart at some stage. For some reason this year, it's just simply not happening.
I don't know, it just might be a salty Nat Fyfe owner who wants more out of him.
Very true. Could be.
But we're kicking off on the Sunday games. We had the Pies taking on Brisbane at the MCG, where the Pies almost gave up a lead but went on to win quite comfortably. Steve, I believe you have the Pies.
They turned up to the MCG apparently, and Yeah, not one of their finest, I wouldn't have thought. yeah, they won, but yeah, it wasn't great. I don't think Bucks would be too proud. All the usual suspects scored pretty well. Adam Treloar, Scott Pendlebury, Brody Grundy, Taylor Adams, even Steele Sidebottom got in it with a pretty decent score for you there. I think we'd all be pretty happy with Jamie Elliott kicking four goals. Looks great. Great seeing him back. Very happy for him. Doing it all with some pretty terrible hair, which I wish I had those sort of problems. you know, whatever. We can't all be hair sweet gentlemen like yourselves. We just have to make do. But yeah, look, there was a lot of good pies going around. But I mean, their defensive efforts weren't great for mine. Yeah, just on the other side of the ball. But there was a man, people. There was a man.
Matthew Sharon Goat.
Yeah, the Sharon Goat was out. How do you think he went? Yeah, he was okay. He worked into the game. He won't be polling any Brownlow votes, I don't think. But, you know, he did some nice things. We didn't see any of his intercept marking. He had a very defensive role, though he did push up. But I don't know. He was okay.
And the weather didn't allow for it either.
Yeah, well, just remember, Matty Schoenberg and Reece Palmer haven't lost a game at AFL level this year, boys.
Who played well for the Brisbane Lions?
Sorry, I'm struggling after that comment. Dane Zorko, absolute superstar. Amazing season he's having, and quite a few of us probably dropped Zorko off the radar because of losing the forward status and the opportunity to be a dual position player. But Dane Zorko is averaging just under 120 and pumped out another 124 this week. He's an amazing footballer. Dane Beams continued his good form on return from injury, 116 for Dane Beams. And one thing we did predict that when Rockcliffe was out, that Barrett will get more midfield time. Exactly what happened. He actually looks like Rockcliffe out there, actually, and scored 87. Cutts was magnificent again. It's great to see him playing so well and deserved. He should be in your defence. 82 points for Cutts. Sam Mays, one that's been on the waiver wire discussions for a long period of time. I think he's just over the threshold now, but 76 for him. And the last point for Brisbane, Hawthorn coach bringing in a second ruck. It's a sad day for Steph Martin, only 64. And I'll be honest, in the other formats, I got rid of Martin as soon as Archie Smith was confirmed. It's a real concern.
Yeah, we have seen it before when the two-ruck combo with the Grundy-Cox combo absolutely killed Grundy's scoring. Now that Cox is out, look how well Grundy's going. We just got to manufacture somehow to get Archie Smith out of that team.
We need bloody Josh Shackey back so they don't need a tall forward option. That's what we bloody need.
Isn't he yay finding himself or discovering himself or something?
I'll find him and put a boot up his ass and tell him to get him out in the game. Come on, Shaq, you get it together. Bloody hell, you're killing me. Steph Martin only here, by the way. Just quietly.
Yeah, quality coaching move there, isn't it?
And I actually thought that if it was to reduce Steph Martin's workload, he still played 108 minutes that game in conditions that are not conducive for talls. So if he actually wanted to give Martin a rest because his workload is very high and it's probably a big ask for someone to be the one-out ruckman for a whole season, we'll just give him the week off and he gets the second week off with a bye and put in Archie, if that makes sense. That's the way it should have worked. But obviously they're looking at it as a serious structure.
Hope not, because I believe he'd be in Steve's A Dozen Deal article this week, if that's the case.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to predict. I mean, I'm a Steph Martin owner. I don't really want to sell him because, you know, Archie Smith could be gone next week. I don't really know. But, you know, maybe it is time to be aggressive and try and land a big fish. I'd certainly want something really good for Steph Martin. He's one of the top bloody ruckmen out there.
But we did see it last year. They played the dual ruck for about 3 or 4 weeks, and after that, once Smith went out of the side, Martin went crazy. So maybe it's just a couple of weeks where they're just going to give him that little bit of a break and then wait till after the buys and go full ham again. Who knows?
Maybe Fakes hasn't got Steph Martin in his AFL fantasy team and just wanted the price to drop down so he could swap one of his lesser ruckmen across. So I just can't see the benefit of what he was trying to do.
It's just strange.
Because neither of them are a good forward.
No, that's right.
So come on, Sharky, get it together.
But the second last game of the round, we had a cracker at Etihad Stadium after North Melbourne got out to about a 6 or 7 goal lead with Carlton coming back in the last quarter there, but fell short, and the Blues, Steve, held themselves pretty highly in that game.
Yeah, it was a massive fight back, just amazing, quite frankly, to even get in front. Great support from the crowd. They were very vocal. Look, Carlton put on massive pressure. They just couldn't come away with it, but a lot of positives, of course, as there often is in a Carlton game. Matty Cruiser, just unbelievable. If you drafted him late, you'd be ecstatic with what you're getting out of him. He beat Goldie, hands down. 132 Dream Team, 146 Super Coach. Fantastic. Gibbs, everyone hates Bryce Gibbs, but we keep telling people to keep drafting him because he does things like get 38 positions and kick 3 snags, give you 145 Dream Team, 140 Super Coach. Sam Doherty continues to rack up monster numbers. One of the top defenders, of course. Ed Kernow, Cade Simpson and Paddy Cripps were all very good. Matty Wright gave you a nice little score compared to what he's done in recent weeks, kicking some good goal. 100 Dream Team, 82 Super Coach, but
jeez.
And Cunningham gave you a nice 94-92 Super Coach. 2 goals, 7 tackles, that's pretty awesome in 64% time on ground. So there's a bit of interest in that. Not to me, that is probably not a pickup, but yeah, what can you say? It's a pretty good game, and maybe has a fantasy friendly role. But on to North, they scooted away early, got reeled in, and then fought back and got a pretty nice win in the end, led by Sean Higgins and Jack Zeeble's eyeball. Jack Zed's dead, baby. I don't know. His scores were massive though. Sean Higgins, what polish he is just an absolute match winner. I'd be tagging him probably. Yeah, very good. Luke McDonald, man, he's really starting to come of age. Hasn't really given you a crap score this year. And he kicked the seal today. A lot more midfield time. Certainly pushing up the ground and finding some ball. 117 Dream Team, 112 Super Coach. Make sure he's not on the waiver wire in your league. He's just putting it together. Great defensive option. And maybe even a nice little keeper piece. And Ben Cunnington, we saw he got injured last week and missed a fair chunk of the game. He had a really low time on ground, 67%. Struggled around 50 Dream Team, 49 Super Coach. So he might be a guy who, because he doesn't really carry a big name value, much brand value, as I like to say, but he has got a bit of stinky name value. So if he has another low time on ground game, maybe you know that. And when North come back from the bye, he might be someone who gets dropped, to be honest, in leagues. Or maybe you can throw a little something out there in a trade offer and you might be able to get him because he's certainly been very good. But, yeah, North continues to be a well-organized team and get the chocolates again. So, yeah, well done to them. What do you think, boys?
Very good. And the last game of the round was West Coast going down at the main stadium to the Giants by 8 points. Who fire away on the West Coast Eagles?
Yeah, a bit of a surprise loss for West Coast, considering GWS have got so many quality players out, but still scored pretty well, which is no surprise when we're talking at Subiaco Oval. So Andrew Flat Track Gaff, 124, Elliot Flat Track Yo, 118, Lewis Flat Track Jetta, 107. Dom Sheed, who we talked about on the waivers last week and this week, Flat Track Sheed, 98. And Sam Mitchell, a fantastic game, actually. He played quite well for his 97 and scored 108 in Supercoach. Jeremy McGovern, for those that are fans of Supercoach, I dare say is a special when it comes to Supercoach. 126 he scored in defence. he just comes in and takes those intercept marks, so racks up the points there. Pritis was a little bit down with 91 and 81 respectively, and I'm sure that team is waiting for a ruckman who can really take control. Mumford, 50 hit-outs compared to Vardy's 32. So Scott Lysett will be a welcome inclusion probably after the buys, gentlemen.
Yes, please.
Thank the Lord, because I need him in my team.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, John, I got him in my league, and he cannot come back soon enough. He's rumoured to be playing in the Waffle this week, but we'll wait and see.
Oh, fantastic. And how did the GWS players fare there, Steve?
Well, I didn't really get to see a lot of this game because we were doing the cooking dinner for Baby Fizz, actually. But, yeah, Josh Kelly, what a superstar, man. He's certainly going to be the prize signature this off-season. Fantastic. Shane Mumford got about a billion hit-outs and scored pretty nicely, especially for your Supercoach formats. Again, Toby Green, man, if we're playing in a keeper league, he would be the guy I'm trying to get.
Devin Smith.
No.
If he gets on the park.
No, no. Give me Toby Green. He is unlike he's going to keep forward status, unlike a lot of these other guys.
Too soon.
Sorry, Statesman. Yeah, Toby Green is going to be the guy who keeps forward status when these other guys are dropping it, like your Dalhouse and your McRae's and, your Devin Smith and Nick Rowell Tyres. He's a superstar.
Woohoo! That time. Second one of the year.
So that's Callan Ward. John is woohooing for Callan Ward. He was fine again. Zach Williams got a ton of the pill. But Josh Kelly continues to be the story. Ladies, if I was single, I'd certainly be, you know, if I was a gold digger, I'd probably head in that direction. What's wrong with that? He's going to get a big paycheck, you know.
Property mogul in Melbourne, is he?
I don't know about that. I mean,
will be.
You know, he lives out in GWS. Maybe there's not too many lookers out in
Kemploy.
Western Sydney. I don't really know what's going on out there. You might do well.
I've been out to West Sydney, and there is not.
You'd probably get a damn good kebab, though, Jono, couldn't you?
They certainly do.
Yeah, I've never been there, but good luck to you, Josh. Good on you, son. GWS got the chockies, and not many underperformers, I guess you'd say.
And that wraps up all the round 10 wrap-up. I believe we've got a... Do we have any questions this week, Steve?
No, we don't. You know that.
No, we don't. Well, he's got to ask.
No, you don't. I told you before the start of recording. We're fine. What are you doing?
Man, I'm hanging onto a piss right now that you would not believe, so I hope my memory is going.
Is that your new excuse now? I've got to hang a piss.
Yeah.
It's usually just I'm drunk or gut feel.
Well, I am very tired as well because
I was up till
5 o'clock this morning watching the mighty Gunners win the FA Cup over Chelsea. So very happy about that. It means nothing, but we beat Chelsea, and that's the important thing. So I was very happy with that. So very tired, and I'm going to bed.
Yeah, well done on coming up with a new excuse other than tell me the back teeth are floating. Well done, John.
Yeah, you know I will.
That's good stuff.
And, that wraps up the show for this week. Yeah, if you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Search us on Facebook as well, The Draft Doctors. Good luck in your buy rounds. Get rid of the deadwood that's not playing that you can. Pick up whatever you can, because every play and every point is very important. Stay tuned for the Statesman's captain selections and Steve's A Dozen Deal, and also my late week pickups coming out to you on Wednesday, because we have the Thursday games for the next few weeks. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.